And my name's Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the show that's airing right now. When is now? 1930 UTC. Check your clock. You're listening to Anon Radio, and what are we doing today? I've got that handy-dandy agenda always right here. A very convenient piece of paper to have, to be sure. Yesterday, I sat down to eat, and I turned on my TV, started flipping around the channels, and I got to TCM, the classic movie channel. And guess what was just starting? That's right, General Spanky. Now, if you're not familiar with the film, it is the only feature-length film that Hal Roach made with the Little Rascals, or as they were originally known, Our Gang. You know these characters, Spanky McFarland and Alfalfa and Buckwheat. And there were many others, but those were the only three from Our Gang who appeared in the film. This is mainly a movie about Spanky. And if by any chance you're wondering why this group of children have two different names, Our Gang and The Little Rascals, it's because Hal Roach, the producer of these films, produced this stuff as film shorts originally. And then later on, meaning about 15 years later, but don't quote me on that number, he sold the package and turned it into a television show. They didn't refilm anything. They just took the old films and, you know, chopped them and edited them for television format. If memory serves, and it rarely does, I think Our Gang ran in the, you know, say mid-30s, and then The Little Rascals didn't come out until mid-50s, around then, give or take. So I was sitting there watching General Spanky, the film, and I got to thinking, well, I was watching this, and, you know, this is actually kind of a funny movie. I don't know when it was made. It was probably around 1936 or 1937. But it was funny, and that kind of surprised me in a way that you wouldn't expect something, oh, the humor is old, it won't be funny. But no, it's very natural humor, and it's kids stuff. You know, it's kids do funny stuff, and that's always hilarious. And I was about an hour into this movie when I realized, wow, this is amazing. I haven't heard one scatological joke yet. And there won't be any in it. And that's the big difference between comedy back then and comedy today. Today, it's all just fart jokes. And back in the day, it was actually just comedy. So it got me to thinking, why doesn't anybody remake these movies today? You know, that's all Hollywood does, is remake old movies and old ideas. And I'm not suggesting that they recreate Our Gang or The Little Rascals. We don't need a new Spanky. We don't need a new Alfalfa. But what we need is these movies being remade. Just get some new casts. You don't even have to call it a remake. Just do the same thing conceptually. Get a bunch of kids who can halfway act and set them up. Let them do kid stuff. Show kids being smart and creative and doing intelligent things instead of the horrible children's entertainment we have today, which is just a bunch of Disney crap. I got bad news for you. Your daughter is not a princess. Oh, and she never will be. Spanky rules. Oh, poor Spanky McFarland. We need more Spankies in this world. And just a few fewer Disney princesses.
It's 3:23 a.m.
And that's obviously local time, because if you look at your clock right now, you'll notice that it is 1935 UTC. I invented two inventions today. And I've only been up for 3 hours. Okay, let's see. What did I invent today? Oh, yes. The first thing I invented is completely and entirely theoretical. Because, of course, doing something like this without the proper licenses from the federal government would be illegal. And you should not try this at home. But what I was thinking was, supposing you had some sort of radio transmitter, and let's say it's one of those continuous wave Morse code type transmitters. So suppose you have one of these. Instead of hooking up a key to it, and when I say a key, I mean that funny little switch that telegraphers use to send Morse code. You've seen them in movies, you know, beep, 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 that little thing that they're tapping on. Yes, that's called a key. And if you want to learn something really interesting, look up iambic key. You'll learn something very interesting. Regardless, normally on a Morse code radio, you hook up one of these keys, and that's the thing you tap to make the beep, 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 beeps. All right, so instead of doing that, though, here's my invention. What you do is you basically hook this up to a windmill, and you have one of the switch contacts, you know, just be static, and then you have one switch contact on something that spins. You know, you've got a windmill, put it on the axle or on the drive shaft, or whatever you call that part of a windmill. And then you hook it up. You hook all this stuff up. And so what happens? Every time the windmill turns, the little wire turns around and comes in contact with its wire, and it sends a beep, and then it goes by and it stops. So the harder the wind is blowing, the faster you get beeps. Beep, 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 right? Makes sense? And then you could put this somewhere. And then if you were ever wondering how windy it was, you could just turn on your radio and listen to the beeps. The faster the beeps, the stronger the wind. And, you know, if you knew all the diameters of the things that you were measured, that you hooked the windmill business up to, blah, 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 what I'm trying to say is you could, by counting a number of beeps in some time period, figure out exactly how fast the wind was blowing. But, you know, why would you want to do that? If you want that, just go out and buy an anemometer. My second invention that I invented today, I invented while I was in the bathtub. I was sitting in the bathtub. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you in any way. And I was sitting there thinking about playing one of my favorite games, which is, how far can I fill up the bathtub while I'm in it before it overflows? Okay, this is a fun game for me. And I was going to sit there and play it, and then I thought, well, but there's no good way to quantify this. Even if I set a record, you know, how do I know the next time I play it if I've beaten that level or not? So I started thinking about how to measure the level of water. Now, my bathtub doesn't exactly have a sharp edge, meaning that its interior curve does not come to a 90-degree angle at any time. And so there's no easy way to reference the, quote, top, end quote, of the tub. And so I sat there thinking, okay, well, you got to stick something in there and have it stick down then. And then I thought, okay, well, if something's sticking out from the edge of the tub going down, then I could have a little stick and it could have a float on it. And then the float could sit on the surface of the water and gradually push this stick up as the tub fills. And then I could mark gradations on the stick and know how full my tub was relatively. Yeah, another stroke of brilliance in the bathtub by me. Until I realized, oh wait, but then I would have to make it so that there's clearance above the float, because if the float's any bigger than the difference between the maximum height of the tub and the water level, then I'm not going to get any kind of accurate reading, and I'm not going to be able to measure what I actually need to measure. So, well, I put that on a different burner in my brain and realized, oh, well, okay, I just offset this. I just offset this other thing. Get some screw eyes, screw them into a piece of wood, get a bamboo skewer, stick a piece of styrofoam on the end, and we're good to go. All I need to do then is mark gradations on the little bamboo skewer and go from there. And I realize, well, what units am I measuring? Well, some ambiguous unit, which made me realize, ooh, now we have a naming opportunity, and these units will be called tobes. Or maybe they'll be tub-tobes, or maybe they'll be tobe-tubs. It doesn't really matter at this point, because I still haven't built this thing, but intend to do so this evening. And this is, of course, in fact, why I need to have one, so I can see how full I can make the bathtub. And that might have to happen again tonight. So if tomorrow you hear me talking about my tub-full experiment, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but Tobe, if this is an experiment, where's your control group? No, don't. Man, I guess we're not gonna do any science after all. This isn't science. This is empirical data gathering. Because obviously I have an empirical data bathtub. Now, if I had a science bathtub, this would be a hell of a lot easier. Now, wouldn't it? Science bathtub. I can kind of imagine what it looks like. I can tell you it's probably made out of Pyrex glass. Borosilicate glass. And it's very accurately graded on this side. And you can get them from Fisher Scientific. They make them. And they're calibrated to 0.0001%. Bathtubs for science. Now available at all your favorite lab supply stores. Oh, how's my tea supply doing here? Oh, that's no good. We're down to the dregs, kids. I mean, it's literally just like 4 drops of tea and a bunch of tea leaves floating around on the bottom of the cup. So, while I'm off making more tea, why don't you listen to some of this?
Artificial flavors all around you.
Something that we ain't satiated, what we gave you, our behavior will astound.
flavors all around you. Two skinny trays after craze as of late. Sorry,
it must be something that we ate.
Satiated what we gave you. Our behavior will astound you. The artificial flavors all around you.
I could eat that much ham. It's just a shame all those pigs had to die.
Oh, we don't kill them. We only take the hind legs. The pigs get little carts.
And inside you have something very beautiful, very sweet, white, very clean. I think it's the most clean thing that you can ever imagine.
Terry and Cahill, less defending, more flinching. I take no pleasure in this.
The accelerated aging of John Terry examples for Courtois would have saved that.
Oh, hey, we're back. I wasn't paying attention. It's time for me to get back on the mic. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and you are listening to Anon Radio. I've got my big, fresh, steaming hot cup of tea with me. It's right here. Oh, and it smells so delicious. Let's taste it. Oh, yeah. This is very delicious. Oh, it's so yummy. Ooh, yeah. That's good stuff. It's a little hot, but it's... oh, so yummy. I love tea so much. Last week, I put my marbles up on the kitchen counter. If you'll remember, some time ago, I had my true madame, my marble bridge, in my living room on the nice hardwood floor so I could roll marbles and play with my cat. Well, I made the mistake of leaving the marbles on the floor for a while, and at really annoying times, like the middle of the night when I'm trying to sleep, the cat decides to play with the marbles, and of course, then they end up rolling around, and you can hear this, because this nice wooden floor is right over my basement, so there's this huge resonant chamber, and so at 5:30 a.m., a 1-inch diameter glass marble rolling across a wooden floor sounds like that giant boulder that chased Indiana Jones. And eventually the cat knocks the marble down the stairs and kawam, 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 kawam. These are annoying sounds to hear when you are trying to sleep. And so, in my infinite wisdom, I picked up all the marbles and I put them on the kitchen counter where, you know, the cat can't get them. Yeah. And if you'll remember from a couple days ago, I mentioned my cat learned how to jump up onto the kitchen counters recently, and by extension, has discovered the marbles, and has also discovered that it's way more fun to knock the marbles off the counter than it is to knock them down the stairs. And boy, does this make a racket. So now I'm trying to figure out where to put my marbles so I don't lose them. Actually, so my cat doesn't steal them. By the way, did I mention that my girlfriend got a new curling iron the other day? I'm not sure why. She has jet straight hair and always has jet straight hair, and she has a hair iron, so when she feels like her hair isn't quite straight enough, she can straighten it out some more. So I'm not entirely sure why she felt she needed to buy this curling iron, but of course I ended up with the plastic blister because I love plastic blisters so much. And that's true, I'm not being sarcastic. I like plastic blisters for making things. You can make all kinds of weird stuff out of plastic blisters. They have such interesting shapes. All you gotta do is paint them, add some things, and suddenly you've got a little building. Or maybe you've got a little space station, or who knows what you got. It all depends on the blister now, doesn't it? But they're a real fast and easy way to build up your collection of small buildings, if you're the kind of person, as I am, that needs lots of small buildings. Well, as I'm holding the blister package, I'm fascinated by what's written on the little cardboard insert. This is the Hot Sticks Instant Heat type of curling iron, apparently. And one of its features is listed right here, and that is, it has a multi-layer technology. The barrel combines the elements of chromium, nickel, copper, and steel for beautiful, long-lasting results. Well, beautiful, long-lasting results of what? The barrel? That's what I'm assuming, because that's what it says. Barrel combines the elements of chromium, nickel, copper, and steel for beautiful, long-lasting results. Okay, the next feature of this curling iron is its smart technology. And this is a registered trademark for this company. It says so right here, smart technology. And then there's the little registered trademark symbol. Keeps barrel at stabilized heat during styling. Wow, that is some smart technology. That's pretty smart. Yeah. What did we do? Add a thermistor? And then the other feature, which is also a registered trademark, Turbo Heat. That's right, Turbo Heat is a registered trademark of this company. Burst of heat at the touch of a button for faster styling. Okay, that's great. And then down below that, there's a little thing that says dual voltage, and then there's a little icon of an airplane. Because, you know, airplanes are dual voltage. You know, they're 3.3 volts for all the SMT components, and then there's a 24-volt bus for all the solenoids. And so, luckily, if you're an airplane, you can use this curling iron because it is, in fact, dual voltage. Wow. Yeah. I'm turning it over and reading the back now. Exclusive multi-layer technology, 5 layers. That's funny because on the other side, there's only 4, chromium, nickel, copper, and steel. What's the 5th layer? Must be molybdenum. 5 layers, better even heat distribution for beautiful long-lasting curls. Okay, great. And then it says 30-second heat up, but there's an asterisk after it. And if I look down further on the package, I can find the footnote, and it says, unit will not reach stabilized temperature within 30 seconds. Okay, well then, what's the smart technology for? And what's the 30-second heat up all about? But it does have 25 heat settings and turbo heat, up to 20°C/36°F burst of heat at the press of a button for faster styling. Okay, well, if we need faster styling, why don't we just, you know, make it that hot all the time? Oh, I don't understand curling irons. Wow. Oh, well. Did I learn anything? No. But I did learn that I kind of like this blister pack. I like the top of it better than the bottom. I think I'm going to cut this up and use this for something. I'll put this in the bucket full of blisters. Yes, I do have a bucket full of blisters. I've got 2 buckets of them, actually. But they're not very large buckets. You know, they're those, like, 3-gallon cat sand buckets. And every time I get a blister that I like, I think, ooh, I could use that for something because it looks like an aerodrome hanger or it looks like a whatever. Then I cut it out and I put it in the bucket full of other blisters that I will eventually someday do something with. You know, to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of surprised that this package doesn't say that this curling iron is digital. You know, because everything's digital these days, and digital things are much better than not digital things. You know, like those new Dyson vacuum cleaners, the ones with the digital motors. That's right. Did you know that there are digital vacuum cleaners now? Yes, it's digital. Because, you know, what makes it digital? Well, you gotta plug it into the wall, don't you, to charge it up. All digital things, you gotta plug them into the wall. And that's what makes them digital. You know, I would buy one of these digital vacuum cleaners, but I just don't have any digital dirt. And my carpets aren't digital. What am I gonna do with a digital vacuum cleaner? I don't have a digital carpet. And it's not full of digital dirt. I think I'm gonna call the Dyson company and sell them some digital light bulbs, which are clearly much more greener than whatever they're using. You know, here they claim to be a digital company, and, you know, geez, and they're using old-style analog light bulbs? Well, they should be trying out my new digital light bulbs. How are they digital, you ask? Well, there's only 2 conditions for them. They're either off or they're on. That's what makes them digital, and that's what makes them better. So you need to buy my new digital light bulbs. And the best part of them is, right now, they only cost $1 more than a regular light bulb. But that price will come down as the technology gets better. And I think I'm going to make a digital food processor while I'm at it, so you can prepare some digital foods. You can make digital foods with my digital food processor. How is my digital food processor digital? It plugs into the wall, doesn't it? It uses digitality. You know, that digitality that's right there in our walls. Oh my God, what am I going to do? We're living in strange times, and that's for sure. Speaking of time, don't look at the clock because it's almost 2000 hours UTC. And that means my time is up. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe, and you've been listening to the Digital Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio. This show airs every day at 19:30 UTC, so be sure to tune in tomorrow, the next day, and every day for the rest of your natural life. I think today is a barnacle day, so make sure you stay tuned right after this show ends for The Sound Show, genre mix and discussion starring Barnacle, one of our favorite DJs right here on Anon Radio. Stay tuned for that coming up next, like I said, and there's only one thing left for me to do, and that is to say this. Bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.